and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is not with us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're going to be talking about cerebrovascular accidents, or CVA, more commonly known as a stroke. Jean, could you start us out by telling us what is a stroke?
Sure. A stroke is an emergency medical situation or condition that involves a disruption in the blood flow to the brain. Worldwide, there are approximately 15 million diagnosed CVA a year. And of those, a third of the individuals who have had a stroke will be permanently disabled, and another third will actually die. The incidence of stroke cases has been on the rise. And there are three main types of stroke that we're going to talk about. Ischemic, which is the most common, transient ischemic attack, also known as a mini stroke, and hemorrhagic.
Wow, that's a lot of strokes.
Yeah.
I had no idea that they were that prevalent. Transient ischemic attacks, or TIAs, is described as a temporary loss of blood supply in the brain. You may also hear of a TIA referred to as a warning stroke. Approximately a third of the individuals who have had a TIA will have a full-blown stroke later on. Typically, a TIA does not result in permanent damage and only lasts for a few minutes.
The American Stroke Association uses the acronym FAST to help everyone remember the potential symptoms for a stroke and quickly intervene.
It's always the best. Mm-hmm. So for FAST, F stands for facial drooping. A stands for arm weakness. S stands for speech difficulty. And T stands for time to call emergency services?
Yes, T stands for time to call emergency services.
Okay.
And depending on the area of the brain that is involved, your symptoms for a TIA may vary. As Lita had said earlier, they may include a sudden onset of dizziness or a lack of coordination or weakness, a slurring or garbled speech, blurry vision or temporary blindness, and these symptoms typically resolve within a 24-hour period. But as we said, a TIA can be a warning sign of a future stroke. So it is vital to get medical care to try and prevent a future stroke.
A TIA may be caused by a spasm or a temporary narrowing of the blood vessels. I didn't realize that blood vessels spasmed. The result of a cholesterol buildup or a clot in the blood vessel.
Sure. And although we tend to think of older adults when we think about TIAs, they can actually occur at any age.
Yes, especially for those with a family history of strokes. The age, sex, prior TIAs, sickle cell disease, and high cholesterol, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, or high blood pressure are also risks for strokes. Again, you should seek immediate medical attention for yourself or someone else if you believe they're having a TIA. Now, Grandma had a TIA.
Yeah.
And her only symptom was she could not talk.
Right. So, but you noticed it right away.
Right. But, I mean, like, it doesn't have to be garbled speech. It could be just non-speech.
Right. Yeah, you can't communicate.
Right.
And when compared to a TIA, a full-blown stroke or ischemic-type stroke, on the other hand, is a much more serious condition as it typically results in permanent brain damage and it is considered a medical emergency.
The ischemic type of stroke is due to a lack of blood flow to the brain. Since blood provides the brain with oxygen and nutrients, without an adequate amount of blood supply to the brain cells begin to die.
And symptoms for an ischemic type of stroke can vary. They may include nausea, vomiting, dizziness, or a loss of consciousness accompanied by a sudden and severe headache, difficulty speaking or understanding speech, sudden numbness and or paralysis of the limbs or face, or a sudden loss of balance or coordination.
Okay, those are good symptoms to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to refer back to the American Stroke Association with the acronym FAST, facial drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, time to call emergency services right away.
Okay. And the final type of stroke that we're going to be talking about today is called a hemorrhagic stroke. And this typically occurs when a blood vessel in the brain ruptures or leaks.
Are we going to have a test at the end of this?
Yes.
Okay. So you got to remember what FAST stands for. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a test.
Okay.
Hemorrhagic strokes are more likely in individuals with head trauma or uncontrolled blood pressure. When a person has uncontrolled high blood pressure, has weak spots or aneurysms in the walls of the blood vessels in the brain, too much blood thinner in their system, or have had a head trauma, have protein deposits in the blood vessel, or has had ischemic type strokes in the past, they can lead to a hemorrhagic stroke in the brain, and a hemorrhagic stroke can then happen.
Mm-hmm. And there are steps we can all take to help reduce our chances of having a stroke.
Like keeping your cholesterol and blood pressure in check, yep. Avoiding alcohol and illicit drugs, mm-hmm. Eating a well-balanced diet,
sure.
Exercising regularly,
okay.
And talking to your healthcare provider about your family history of stroke.
And it has been shown that birth control medications and possibly having had a COVID infection may also increase your risk of having a stroke. So make sure that your healthcare provider knows if you had those as well or if you're taking those.
Okay. The emergency medical care team evaluating you for a stroke may use a physical exam and imaging to help evaluate and diagnose your condition. An MRI or a CT will show a brain bleed or a blood clot, and the doctors will know where they need to go to fix the problem. Staying on ischemic strokes, which mm-hmm. are the most common, if you had a stroke or stroke symptoms and an artery is more than 50% blocked, surgery may help you. Okay. But not everyone is healthy enough. If you had a major stroke and you have not recovered, or if both of you,
nope.
both of you, or if both of your carotid arteries, which are here on the sides of your neck, mm-hmm. Are mostly blocked, the risks may outweigh the benefits. You may also not be a good candidate for surgery if you have serious heart problems like heart failure or a recent heart attack, uncontrolled high blood pressure, a major illness like kidney failure, diabetes, lung disease, or Alzheimer's disease. If you have severe damage or blockage in other major arteries, like the ones that take blood to your heart, if you have a new blockage in a spot where you've already had surgery, or if you have advanced cancer. And there are procedures that could be done to help reduce your chances of having a stroke.
Yeah, in fact, Stanford Medical posts the following. You had to give this to me.
I did.
All right, let's all try to say it together.
Carotid. And
endarterectomy. Okay. There's a procedure that is used to remove plaques from the carotid artery when this vessel is blocked.
We call that Roto-Rooter.
Yeah, that's what Stanford calls it too. It has recently been proven that for certain patients with minor strokes or TIAs, Roto-Rooter
yes.
is highly beneficial in preventing future strokes. I'm glad we're referring to Roto-Rooting.
Well, that's what we called it when we were in the hospital.
I don't know. I'm sure the medical staff wasn't calling it that, but
no.
Sure.
Okay.
It probably is making you, the listener, question right now why two lay people are talking about technical medical issues. We don't know. We just are. This procedure is also beneficial for some patients with blockage of the carotid arteries who have not had previous symptoms. There's also microsurgery or AVM and aneurysm.
Four AVM.
Oh, again.
Aneurysms.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Microsurgery. What is microsurgery?
Well, I've heard that microsurgery is one of the most dramatic new surgical procedures, and that AVMs and certain aneurysms that were once considered untreatable uh-huh. can now be treated. It employs sophisticated computer technology and geometric principles to pinpoint the precise location of an AVM.
Wow.
And during the procedure, a custom-fitted frame is attached to the patient's head, and a three-dimensional reference point is established with the CT or MRI, and this technique allows the neurosurgeon to locate an AVM within 1 or 2 millimeters so they can operate using a microscope-enhanced method and delicate instruments without affecting normal brain tissue.
Wow.
And then there's also radio-based surgery for AVMs, and this is a minimally invasive and relatively low-risk procedure that uses the same basic technologies as we talked about with microsurgery to pinpoint the precise location of the AVM. But once located, the AVM can be obliterated by focusing a beam of radiation that causes it to clot and then disappear.
Okay.
And due to the precision of this technique, normal brain tissue usually is not affected. And this procedure is generally performed on an outpatient basis.
Wow.
Let's radiate your brain on an outpatient basis. Wow. And then there's revascularization of the blood supply. And this is a surgical technique for treating aneurysms or blocked cerebral arteries. And the technique essentially provides a new route of blood to the brain by grafting another vessel to a cerebral artery or providing a new source of blood flow to the brain. And Stanford has been at the forefront of such advances in revascularization techniques, similar to what happens when
you have a heart bypass?
Right, yes.
So this is a cerebral bypass.
Right.
Wow.
And although a stroke can cause permanent damage to the brain, strides are made every day in the treatment and recovery of stroke for stroke patients. And there are specific stroke rehabilitation programs that can help you regain as much function as possible.
Okay. And because we said there'd be a test,
mm-hmm.
we cannot reiterate enough how important it is to receive immediate emergency medical care for a stroke. Again, FAST stands for face. F is for face. If the face droops on one side or the other,
When
the person tries to smile, if mm-hmm. you smile and one side goes down, that's mm-hmm. you look at the face for that sign. Arms is one arm lower when the person tries to raise both arms. So they don't have, could be a shoulder injury too. But anyway, they're looking for signs and symptoms of a stroke by mm-hmm. lifting the arms.
Okay.
So that's the F and the A. The S for speech. Can the person repeat a simple sentence? Is the speech slurred or hard to understand or doesn't come out at all?
Mm-hmm.
Time. During a stroke, every minute counts. If you observe any of these signs, call 911 or your local emergency number immediately.
And there's a lot more information out there regarding strokes. We actually have a Facebook page dedicated to TIAs and stroke, as well as a Pinterest page. And we'll be sure to put links on that page, on those pages as well, and many more on our website for this episode as well. But that should basically do it for us for today.
Okay. And the test was FAST.
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 Yep.
Thank you for listening. And if you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.